Amen. Raise your hands if you were not blessed by that. Well, bless God, you were all. Ja, het julle dit geniet? Deur is goed, hè? Amen. Amen. Nou maar goed. Vir die van julle wat nou nog nie mooi verstaan nie, ek gaan vanaand weer in Engels preek. Moenie worry nie, ek hijack nie hierdie meetings om hulle Engels te maak nie. Ons het vandag baie Engelse mense wat van baie ver af gekom het. En weet jy wat, ons moet hulle ook maar akkommodeer. Soos ek al voorheen vir julle gesê het, as hulle eendag in die hemel kom, gaan hulle mooi verstaan. Maar tot dan toe moet ons hulle maar net hanteer. Kom ons bid saam. Dierbare Hemelse Vader, baie, baie dankie vir die voorreg wat ons het, dat ons kinders van God genoem kan word. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege that we can be children of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we can be part of the kingdom of the Most High God. Lord, we live in a very imperfect world. And sometimes this imperfect world really has a serious effect upon us. And Lord, sometimes the effect can be that we get broken, battered, bruised, hurt. And sometimes the enemy wants to come to us and say to us that we will never recover. But Lord, then I thank you that there is no problem too big or too great for God to solve. And we thank you that tonight we can be in your presence. Lord, we are the clay and you are the potter. And there is no pot that you cannot mend or heal or restore or renew. And so, Lord, today as I share this message with these people, it is my sincere prayer that every single one of them sitting here will feel the touch of the Holy Spirit upon their hearts and upon their lives. Lord, in fact, I realize that if the Holy Spirit is not here tonight, then we need to all go home now. Because nothing will change and nothing will happen. But I praise you, Lord, that your Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, is here with us tonight. I praise you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God that flows through this place. I praise you for your presence. I praise you for your power. I praise you for your life. I praise you for your might. And I praise you for the river of life that flows through this place in Jesus' holy name. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a message that I shared in December 2009. And this is something that I would like to share with all of you. Let's talk about something that we probably don't often talk about in church. Let's talk about mud. Who of you can get excited when I say to you the word mud? Anybody get excited about that word? Of course she does, because she's what, she's 10 years old or 8 years old. To her, mud is an endless opportunity to get dirty and upset her mother and jump up and down on her dad's brand new sofa. You see, mud isn't generally something that we get overly excited about. Mud is dirty, and it often smells bad. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of times women, they don't like to go fishing with their husbands because of all the mud. Because let's be very honest, when was the last time you went to Hartbeespoort Dam? Anybody been there in a while? I tell you what, the pong there is something chronic, eh? It's not mud anymore. It's some kind of a weird growing organism. Yeah. Mud is dirty. Mud is smelly. Mud is yucky. And you see, mud has this amazing ability to transfer onto everything. Wherever you didn't want it to go, that's the first place that it ends up going. And mud is extremely sticky. You can be as light as a feather when you walk over it, but guess what? You're going to drag a whole bunch of it with you, whether you want to or not. And guess where it's going to end up? All the places that you didn't want it to go. Mud often ends up as muddy footprints on your brand new carpets. Or even worse, you've taken the kids to the park to play. They've had a wonderful time. It rained the day before. Guess what? All half of the mud that used to be in the playground is now on your brand new suede leather seats. Right? Guess what the cleaning bill is going to be there? It's astronomical. It's gigantic. It's huge. Mud is slippery. It stains. It sticks to everything. And we sometimes do get stuck in it. I'll never forget when I was in matric, me and my father and my mother and my brother, we went to go fishing somewhere. I think it was Roodepoort Dam, somewhere there, the other side of Pretoria. And while we were there, God decided that this was a really wonderful time to open the floodgates of heaven. You know, God just checked the pressures and made sure that everything was working fine so that he could make sure that all the maize and all the corn was going to grow. And we just happened to be there in the testing department. We didn't know that. We didn't get the memo, you understand? So we're trying to catch fish and suddenly the heavens just open. And it's like a downpour of note. Now, a lot of the dams, because of all the water going up and down, it creates what you call like slick. I don't know what you call that in English. It's like clay. Yeah, sludge. And the dam that we were fishing at, the water used to go a lot further up. And because it had gone down, that earth was still very moist. So it only needed a little bit of water for it to become this huge clayey mess. And guess what? There wasn't just a little bit of water. There was this torrent of downpour. When we eventually had to pack up the caravan to leave, I remember when we walked outside, we used to wear these flip-flops. You remember back in the day, we used to have these ones that used to go through your big toe, the little black soles and the blue on the sides. And within about 2 minutes, both mine and my brother's had broken, because when you put your foot down and you lift it, every time you put it down, you grow by about 1 inch. So by the time you've gone once around the caravan, you're 2 inches or 3 inches or 4 inches higher, and it gets heavy, and eventually these things break. Then we tried to hitch the caravan to the car. That was a disaster of note, because we couldn't even get the car to go in front of the caravan. The car was just spinning. We ended up staying there the Sunday evening as well, hoping that by Monday morning things would look better. By Monday afternoon, me and my father had to walk to the nearest farm to ask the oak if he would please borrow us his tractor so that he could pull us out of there. He couldn't pull the car and the caravan out because the tractor was spinning too much. So he pulled out the car first, and then he came back and he fetched the caravan, and then he pulled out the caravan. So you get my drift. Mud, it's not always a bargain. It's not always something that we get excited about. But you see, my friend, there is somebody that really does get excited about mud. And if you could raise your hand now and say, Rion, that's me because I've got mud wrestling on the brain, then I want to see you for prayer afterwards. You understand? The people that get excited about mud is not those that are into mud wrestling. It's those that we call potters. You see, a potter's life is meaningless without something that you and I don't necessarily like a lot, because they use mud, they use clay to shape, to form, to create, to do wonderful things with. You see, a potter can take something that most of us despise in the guise of mud and turn it into something beautiful, something functional, something that adds value to your life. Think about it. When it's been raining and you see the mud out there and you think to yourself, man, I have to walk through all of this stuff to get to my car. You're not excited about it, but the potter is excited about it because he doesn't see mud. He sees opportunity. He doesn't see a problem. He sees an opportunity to create something amazing, something wonderful, and he knows that it'll add value to your life. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse 1 to 6, we find this scripture. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at his wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. And so the potter formed it into another pot, by shaping it as it seemed best to him. And then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hands of a potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. if we look at this passage, it's very clear that it is the potter who decides how the final product will look and not the clay. Do you hear what I'm saying? It was the potter. The prophet sees a potter sitting at his potter's wheel. He takes a bowl of, or a bunch of clay, he puts it on the wheel and he begins to shape it. As the prophet is watching, he sees something begin to take shape. It looks like a pot. But then he notices that as the potter looks at it, the potter says, but this is not really the shape that I wanted it to be. And because it's not the shape that he wanted it to be, he goes back to it. He pushes it down and he starts over again until he gets it to perfection. And it's only when he gets it to perfection that he's happy, that he takes it off and he takes it to the oven, fires it and creates a wonderful pot. You see, the potter will keep shaping and reshaping if necessary until he is satisfied with the end result of that pot. So what is God doing? God is showing Jeremiah that he, God, is exactly like that potter. He's busily working away at the clay, which represents you and I, until he gets it to represent the shape that he envisioned when he decided to create that pot. Amen? And so God is busy shaping your life and my life today. So let's talk about pots. You might not have thought about this before, but pots are a lot like people. What do I mean by that? You see, you get big pots and you get little pots. You get pretty pots and you get not so pretty pots. Some pots are very functional. They are very homely. Other pots are really more there for decorational purposes. Some pots you can put in the fire, and some pots you just know that you know is not going to go well if you put it in the fire. You take them and you put them on the mantelpiece, and you use them for display purposes. Some are very specialized in certain things. Others can be used for just about anything. And then you get pots that are very expensive, and you get pots that are very cheap. In fact, there is probably a pot for every use that you can think of. But I want to say to you that even though no two pots are exactly the same, every pot was made by the potter for a very, very specific purpose. You see, I'm not talking about mass production. When you look at mass production, it's easy to recreate and recreate and recreate. There is no potter in this world that can make an exact replica of the pot that he has just made, because he works with his hands and he works with feeling. One will be a centimeter wider, one will be a centimeter narrower. One will be a little bit taller, one will be a little bit shallower. One will be thicker at the base, one will be thinner at the base. These are things that you cannot control when you work with your hands, because there are too many variables. But do you think that the potter minds any of that? No. The potter is excited when what he sees in his mind's eye begins to be created on that potter's wheel. And so what if it's 10% different from the one that he just created? That doesn't take away from its originality. That doesn't take away from its functionality. That just means that it's an individual. And how many of you know that individuals are much more worthy, worthwhile, better? Why do you pay a couple of million rand for a Van Gogh? Because there's only one. Hello? If Van Gogh could manage to make 10 million of the daisies or the this or the that or whatever it is that he sells, guess what? There would be no value in it, would it? But because it is unique, we assign a lot of value to it. Listen carefully to what I say to you. Anything that is unique has value. Anything that is mass produced instantly begins to lose its value. When you go and buy a classic car, one of the reasons that you have to fork out astronomical amounts of money for that classic car is because it is now unique. When Henry Ford made the Model T Ford, it was mass produced and there were gazillions of them made. And they cost very little money. But over the years, most of them have been destroyed. And so now, maybe there's 1,000 left in the world. Now, if you look at all the cars in the world, 1,000 of one specific model, that is like seriously exclusive. And guess what that does to the value? It pushes it through the roof. Because it's no longer something that is mass produced. It has become unique. And when something is unique, it has value. You cannot put a purely decorative pot into the oven. Why not? Because that's not what it was created for. A decorative pot was created so that somebody can paint it, make it look nice. You put it on the mantelpiece, you use it to display your flowers, but it cannot handle heat. It is going to explode. In the same way, you probably wouldn't use a teapot to make a stew. Now, like pots, no two people are exactly the same. Just take a look at the oak sitting next to you. Now, don't go thinking to yourself, oh, thank God I don't look like you. I've just explained to you. It's a bargain that he looks different from you. You know, even two twins, even two identical twins, there are going to be differences. Just ask the mommy and the daddy. They'll tell you exactly, I'm talking to so-and-so or I'm talking to so-and-so. Why? Because there are differences in character. There are differences in personality. And probably, if you've studied them long enough, there are certain variations in the facial structure or in the way that they walk or in the way that they sit or in the way that they talk. Now, what did I tell you about unique things? Didn't we agree just now that if something is unique, then it has value? Hello? So why is it that we are so quick to accept the devil's lie that we are useless and worthless and good for nothing? When I say to you that out of all the billions of people that exist in this world, there is not one other person that I can walk up to that looks exactly like her. There's nobody else that thinks like him, thank God for that. I'm only joking, eh? There is nobody in this whole entire universe that is an exact carbon copy of who you are. And let me tell you something. That means that you are unique. That means that no matter what the devil says, no matter what your ex-boyfriend says, no matter what your ex-wife or ex-husband or whoever else put you down says, that means that you are valuable. Because all the money in the world cannot duplicate who you are. And guess what? When the potter made you, that's the way he wanted to make you. Bak oor en elke ding. Hello? Because that's what he envisioned when he created you. Amen. Like pots created by the potter for some specific function. So each of us was created by God for a specific purpose. You know that you have certain pots that you can make curry and rice with. You have other pots that work better for stews. You have other pots that's better for like making pumpkin and this and that. I'm not a very good cook. So I'm probably going to mess it up if I try and explain it to you. But let's just suffice to say that there's a reason why some pots are huge and some pots are shallow and some pots are tall, etc., etc., because they were created for certain specific purposes. Now, you look in the mirror and you often ask yourself, why do I look this way? Sometimes you are sitting in a conversation and you make a funny joke or your joke isn't funny or people don't laugh at it, whatever the case might be, and you think to yourself, but why am I like this? Let me tell you why you are like this. Because when God created you, when God put you on the face of this earth, you were put here for a specific purpose. And that's why you were created the way that you are. With all of your quirks and your strange personality and your maybe sometimes funny looks, God created you unique and special because there is something that only you can do in this world. Nobody else, even if they try and do it to the best of their ability, will be able to fulfill your purpose because they were not created for it. Amen? You know what? Let's just forget about pots and talk about cars. How many of you have seen taxis? What a question. We live in South Africa. You were probably freaking out because of one on the way here. Taxis were created for a specific purpose, not the way some people treat them, like you can put 50 people in them. But they were created to be people carriers, not to be drag racing specialists. Yet some people try and use them that way and then they overturn. Hello? Because you are trying to use it in a way that it wasn't created. And if you spoke to the Creator, He would have told you, these ones are created to do maybe maximum 100 kilometers an hour, and you don't put more than 12 people or 13 people or whatever the case might be in it. The moment we try and use something in a way that it wasn't designed to be used. How many of you can remember when you started dating and you borrowed your daddy's car? Now I'm talking more to the men. The people from Springs know exactly what I'm talking about. And you... the moment you go and sit behind the wheel, you turn into magically Mario Andretti. Okay, you're not American, so you don't know who I'm talking about. Sorrel van der Merwe. And according to you, this engine was now purposely built to do at least 10,000 RPM before you quickly do a double clutch shift. If it doesn't wheel spin in at least all four gears, then there's something wrong. Your dad must send it in for a tune-up. Hello? Meanwhile, you're driving your mom's little 1300 323. Hello? Which was designed to do maybe 130 kilometers an hour top speed. Guess what happens when you've taken the car out about 3 times a month? Daddy now sits with a huge repair bill and the mechanic thinks, what a bargain, give the lighty the car again and you can bring it back in another month. Hello? Why did that happen? Because you were using it in a way that it wasn't created to be used. And if you try and do things with something that it wasn't created to do, the chances of damaging it is brilliant. Hello? So when God created you, He created you in a certain way for a specific purpose. And if you try and be different, you'll damage what God created. Do you have the foggiest idea how many damaged people are walking around right now because they don't like what God created and they try and modify it all the time? They try and be something that they were not created to be. They try and do things that God never destined them to do. It is unfortunately also true that people often have a problem with the potter's work in their lives. You know, there are a lot of people that are 100% convinced today that they were created, God missed the plot. Let me tell you something about God. He doesn't wake up with a hangover. I know sometimes Mondays for you is a difficult day and you're going to mess up a lot at work. And you know, we often say when you bought a dud car, it was built either on a Monday or on a Friday. And that does happen in the real world. You know, people, they come to work with a hangover. On a Friday afternoon, they just want to get out of there and they cut corners and they skimp a little bit here and they skimp a little bit there. And so sometimes that affects the quality of the product. But let me tell you something about God. When God does something, He does it in excellence. He never wastes time. He never cuts corners and He never uses inferior product. Please just nudge somebody on the side there and say, I am not inferior. In fact, I'm quite special. There we go. Now there's a couple of women that have been waiting to say that to their husband for a long, long time. You can thank me for that one later. But that's just a fact. When God created us, He made sure that He used the best of everything. Because God wants every single creation to be a masterpiece. And you know what? I don't care what you say when you look in the mirror. I'm telling you now, when your Father who created you, when He looks at you, He sees a masterpiece. His heart swells with pride. He's excited. He's enthusiastic about you because He created you and He put all the best into you so that you can be the best you can be. Many people aren't happy with either their shape or their size or their function of their pot. Let me tell you something. It takes all sorts. Hello? It takes all sorts. If you're only cooking for a family, you can get away with a small pot. If you're cooking for a whole group of people, you need a big pot. Sometimes you need a shallow one and sometimes you need a deep one. And sometimes you need one with bigger handles. But that's the way the potter created it. Because again, I want to bring you back to the fact that God, when He created you, He wasn't just playing around and seeing how many weird shapes can He get out of a piece of clay. God had something specific in mind for you to do. And the way that He created you, the way that He made you, is based on what He envisioned your life to be. A lot of people might have looked at you and given you some strange comments. But when God looked at you, He said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
Now you must understand that the devil knows that there are a lot of people that are not happy with the shape of their pot, or the size of their pot, or the weight of their pot. And he will use that, and he will abuse that to infinity if he can, to try and destroy your life. And guess what? He's very good at that. And he often gets away with murder just because we allow him to. In other words, some people have spent a large portion of their lives fighting against God, being unhappy with who he created them to be. I don't know you. I don't know you that well. There are a couple of people here that I know fairly well. But I know human nature. And I can tell you that if you have 50 people in a room, probably at least 25 of them are very unhappy with who they are, what they do, and where they are going with their life. And they are doing everything they can to try and fight what God is doing in their life. Let me tell you something. That's fighting a losing battle. That's like taking one of these big, you know, these big pop potter. Hello? You know what I'm talking about? The one that you light a fire outside and three men carry it and they put it there on the fire and you've got this huge big stick and you stir. It's like trying to take one of those and putting it in the microwave. And getting very upset because why aren't they making bigger microwaves? It wasn't designed for that purpose. Hello? But you see, the fact is that there are a lot of people, and some of you sitting here tonight, you are trying to be something that you were never destined to be. You are trying to do things that God never called you to do. And then you wonder why you're frustrated all the time. You wonder why you're irritated all the time. You wonder why your peace and your joy seems to be lost all the time. Hello? One of the quickest ways to get your peace back, one of the quickest ways to get your joy back is to accept who you are and accept who God called you to be and accept what God wants you to do and stop fighting Him. A lot of us would go a lot further if we stopped resisting God's call on our life. If we stopped trying to be something that God never created us to be. You see, my friend, the day the potter formed you, he looked at you and he said to himself, perfection. What a wonderful pot. That is exactly the way I wanted to create this pot. I'm proud of this pot. Maybe it's time you and I started looking at ourselves the way God looked at us when He created us. Maybe it's time we stopped complaining about the color of our eyes, the size of our feet, and a couple of other extremities. Maybe it's time we stopped complaining about the color of our hair, our intellect. You see, you don't have that problem. You don't have to complain about nothing up the hair department anyway. Isaiah 29 verse 16. You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him that formed it, he did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, he knows nothing? We will do well to remember that God is the potter and we are the clay. The potter doesn't need to consult the clay when he creates the pot. God didn't need to consult you about your hair color. He didn't need to consult you about the color of your eyes. He didn't need to consult you about your bone structure. He didn't need to consult you about the size of your feet. He didn't need to consult you about your intellect. He didn't need to consult you about your personality. Because what he created was what he envisioned. And what he gave you was perfection. And maybe you just need to begin to look at yourself the way God looks at you. And you'll feel a lot better about yourself and about where you are going. And maybe that'll help you to stop fighting God and stop being upset and angry about life all the time. You see, people sometimes feel that God completely missed it when He created them. They feel that their lives are quite useless and sometimes really battle to like what they see when they look at themselves. Can I tell you why we feel that way? There's probably only one big reason why we feel that way. Because we are constantly comparing ourselves with somebody else. You see, there is somebody out there with probably, according to you, better eyes or a better waistline or a better intellect or shapelier legs or a smaller tummy or bigger muscles. Hello? Or a nicer smile. My friend, get with the program here. There's always going to be somebody that you will perceive is better than you. But there is nobody, according to God, better than you for what He created you to be. Do you hear what I'm saying? And we need to stop looking at other people and comparing ourselves with other people, because the teapot will always be a teapot. Hello? The coffee pot will always be a coffee pot. The deep dish will always be a deep dish. The frying pan will always be a frying pan. A frying pan, my friend, can never ever be a big pot. And if he tries to convince him that he can be, he's going to burn up in the fire, because he wasn't created to do that. You see, because we don't like who we are, because we're always looking at other people, we're always trying to change who we are. And in the process, we're always trying to fight God. Because you see, you were created for a specific purpose. Sometimes we look at what somebody else does with their life, and we get very upset because we can't do that. And then we do all sorts of things to try and adapt so that we can possibly begin to do that. You better find out what God created you to be first. Because the only way that you will have peace and the only way that you're going to start going forward is when you begin to do what God created and destined you to do. How often doesn't one child feel inferior? Because they aren't excelling at sports or academics like their brother or their sister. You are not inferior, my friend. You are just different. Please say these words with me. I am just different. Please look at the person next to you and say, I'm different. And I praise God for that. Man, wouldn't it have been a very drab, dreary, monotonous existence if we all looked the same, if we all thought the same, if we all acted the same? Hello? Nobody would be able to tell a joke because we would all have heard it before. Hello? Nothing would ever surprise you. You'd have nothing to look forward to because you'd always know what's going to happen. Listen to me. One of the most amazing things that God did when He created man was made sure that we are all fearfully and wonderfully and very uniquely made. Because that adds spice to life. Hello? That makes life interesting. That gives us that quality of uniqueness that makes us valuable. Can I tell you something about the devil? The devil hates something that is valuable. Because when he used to be with God, he was valuable. But when he rebelled against God, he became nothing. Satan is worth nothing right now. He's destined for the lake of fire. Things that are worth nothing, you put in the fire. And he doesn't want you to believe that you are unique. He doesn't want you to believe that you are valuable. He wants you to compare yourself with other people and belittle yourself and feel rejected and dejected and hopeless about life. Because he wants you to feel the way he feels. Listen to me. Laat hy sy eie pak vat en laat hy hom kry. Let him take his hiding. It belongs to him. It's not for you to feel useless. It's not for you to feel worthless. You don't need to. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God is excited about you and God is blessed by you. Amen. Amen. So you know the next time the devil comes to you and he wada-wadas about your personality and he wada-wadas about the way that you look and that zit on your nose. Better have a zit on my nose than be frying in the lake of fire. Amen. Amen. Trying your whole life to be like somebody else is not going to do you any good. My friend, only the potter can change his pots. They cannot change themselves. There are a lot of people in this world that take it upon themselves to change who they are. They want to change the way they think. They want to change their personality. They want to change their looks. Some want to take some stuff away and some want to add some stuff and etc., etc. But the bottom line is people are not happy with who they are. They are fighting who they are. And unfortunately, a lot of them just end up fighting God. I have no problem if somebody inspires you. But that person must inspire you to be the best you can be. They mustn't inspire you to try and be the way they are. Because when you do that, you are going to crack your pot. Hello? You are going to destroy what God has made. And guess what? When you have destroyed it far enough, it's probably never going to recover again. And that's why we have a lot of people in this world that are falling apart right now. Because they believe the lie of the evil one, that they have to be different from who they are. They have to change this. They have to change that. Putting too much pressure on a pot to try and change it, either its look or its function, is eventually going to break it. We are not talking about your newfangled cookery that you bought from a Homemark channel, that plastic stuff that you can put in the oven and you can bend it and you can, you know. We're talking, say again. Bend it, shape it, any way you like it, yeah. We're not talking about that stuff. We're talking, yeah, about clay pots that are fired in an oven. How much bend do you think is in a clay pot? Probably nothing. So what I'm trying to tell you is the more pressure you put on yourself to be different, the more pressure you put on yourself to be like him or to be like her or to be like whoever else, the more likely you are to break. A lot of people are not broken because of other people. They are broken because of themselves. Because they continuously put pressure on themselves to achieve more. Listen to me carefully. Let's say that there are two brothers. One is brilliant at sports and the other one is brilliant academically. Now we all know that when you are at school, the academic is called the nerd and the one in the sports department is called the jock. And when we are at school, everybody wants to be the jock. But who designed your car? Probably the nerd. Who beams the satellite down into your house? Probably the nerd. Who controls your bank account? Probably the nerd. But so now we get this nerd that feels that life isn't worth living if he cannot be like his brother. And so now he's going to start going to gym and he's going to start taking steroids. And then he doesn't like his personality that much, but when he drinks a couple of Jack Daniels, he feels a lot better about himself. And because he's trying so hard and putting so much pressure on himself to actually just be different and be popular, in 2 or 3 years' time, he's burnt out. He's addicted to crack. He's addicted to cocaine. He's addicted to marijuana. And he's probably had 1 or 2 run-ins with the law because of all the steroids. His hormones are all over the place and he wants to fight everybody. You see, what he doesn't realize is he's busy cracking his pot. And if he just waited another year or two, his time would have come. Because he was going to get that wonderful bursary to work for that big company and design new systems and new stuff that one day would affect all of our lives. But because he insisted on being different, he's probably going to break before the time. And he will never be useful in the way that God created him to be. The best way to discover your own gifts, your own talents, your own purpose in life is to stop trying to be somebody else. You know, a lot of people, when they come to me for prayer, they're like, can you tell me my gifting? Can you tell me my purpose in life? No, I can't. But I can tell you this. The more you look at other people, the less you'll ever find what God has in store for you. What you need to do is start being excited about who you are. Don't wake up in the morning and start freaking out because of your hairstyle and complain about your skinny shoulders and your big thighs or whatever the thing is that you complain about. Now, I'm not saying that you couldn't work on yourself. But what I'm saying is, don't look at other people and get upset with where you are because of where somebody else is. That somebody else is probably achieving what they are achieving because they are being what God made them to be. Because they are excited about who they are blessed by what they are. And if you just get to that place, guess what? In a year or two, your life will be different. And you'll discover many things about yourself that right now you do not know. The more we look left and the more we look right, the less we see what's ahead of us, what God has planned for us. And guess what? What God has planned for you is amazing because it was created and put aside specially for you. Amen? Specially for you. We have to stop trying to resist God. We have to stop trying to be like other people. And we have to let the potter shape us in the way that he destined our life to be. And then we will have a very blessed life. Romans 9 verse 20 says, but who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Doesn't the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? Ooh. I would say most of us in this place have at some point or the other asked God, what were you thinking? But the Bible says those are not the things that we should be doing. Because it is the potter that decides what to do with the clay. The clay doesn't tell the potter what to do. And the potter can choose. He chooses the shape. He chooses the size. And he chooses the purpose. But when that pot fulfills its purpose, it is going to be blessed of God. Amen? It is going to be blessed of God. God will shape your life to be exactly the way that he has always planned for you. But that can only happen if you allow him to, by accepting who you are. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I'm going to repeat this and I want you to listen carefully because you have to hear this. We are God's workmanship. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are God's workmanship. And after they say that to you, I want to see a smile on your face. There we go. You are God's workmanship. You were created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Listen to me. When God formed you as a pot, metaphorically speaking, he didn't form you because he had nothing better to do. He formed you because he already had a purpose for you. And now he just needed to create this pot that could fulfill that purpose. So not one of you can sit here tonight and say to me, you know what, Rion, my life has no meaning. My life has no purpose. I'm going to say to you that the devil is lying to you. Because the word of God says before he even created you, he already knew your purpose. And the only reason why he created you was to fulfill the purpose already assigned to your life. And God's purposes are good. They are godly. And they will lead to value. They will lead to exhortation and edification. They will lead to blessings either for yourself or to the people in which God uses your purpose. The point that I'm trying to make is, if you just allow God to use you the way that he wanted to use you, if you just stop fighting him, if you just stop complaining, your life is probably going to be a whole lot better than what it is right now. I'm a preacher. But you see, the thing is, before God created me, he knew that he needed a preacher. He knew that he needed an evangelist. He knew that he needed somebody that could fulfill a very specific calling. When God created you, that was not your purpose. When God created you, He saw something different. Now, I don't know what it is. But my life doesn't have a cent more value than yours. I am not half a cent better than you are. If I fulfill my purpose and you fulfill your purpose, we are equal with God. Amen. I'm no better and you are no worse. So why would you want to be me? Because if you are trying to be me, then you are fulfilling your purpose 0%. And that makes me better than you. Not because of anything I'm doing, but because of what you are not doing in your life. The next point that I would like to make is that pots are really quite fragile. Taking into account we are talking about clay pots here. If you don't look after them, if you don't treat them well, then they have this tendency to chip or crack or possibly even break altogether. Now people are just like pots. They can be very fragile too. And they can often get hurt or even break. And there are many things that might have damaged your pot. And I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. The list is really endless. Some people have gone through a divorce. And by the time they get through that, the pot doesn't look so healthy anymore. Some people have been through really big disappointments in life. One of the things that really affect people is disappointment. You thought you were going to get that job. You had all your hopes up. The boss even told you that this was going to be your position. And then one day somebody made a stupid decision and they didn't give it to you. And that disappointment comes and it enters your heart and the devil uses that to eat and eat and eat and eat at you. You become negative. You become despondent. You become bitter, angry at life. But you see, your pot took a shot. Sometimes the things that hurt the pot is the stuff people say about us. And I'm not talking about just anybody, because you know what? If a man walks down the street and he looks at me and he says, "What a stupid looking oak," it's probably going to upset me in the short term, but in the long term, it's going to do nothing to me because I don't know the idiot, you know? So why must I really be stressed? But it's a bit different if it's somebody that I know well. It's a bit different if it's a family member or a close friend. Because their words can be like daggers sometimes. Do you know how many people, when they get into their adult life, really battle to adjust because of what a father or a mother spoke over their child? You know those things like, "You're just so stupid. You're never going to get this stuff." You know, in Afrikaans sê ons altyd, "Jy pop in jou hande." A lot of children, when they're growing up, they go through this like really lomp. What is lomp in Engels? Clumsy phase, and they drop everything. But you must be careful what you speak into their life at that stage, because the devil would love to take your words and make them part of that person's life. Sometimes it's the things that people spoke over us, a husband or a wife, that says things that hurt. Never, never, never say something to intentionally try and hurt somebody. Because remember, pots are fragile. They get chipped and they can crack and they can break. Sometimes it's the things that people have not done. Like when we were betrayed or when we were rejected. You know, one of the worst things when you're a teenager is when you go to a party and nobody greets you. In fact, it's just as bad when you're an adult, hello? You walk into a room and everybody greets the oak next to you, but nobody greets you. How does that make you feel? It hurts. It's like somebody taking a dagger and stabbing you in the heart. Sometimes we damage ourselves. Like maybe you have an affair. Or you cheat on your wife or your husband. You lie. Too much alcohol, drugs, violence, anger. These are things that we do to ourselves. But in the process, we damage the pot. The pot takes a lot of pressure. Sometimes it's just because of living under too much stress or too much pressure for too long. I fully understand that the life that we live is a difficult one. If you are in the corporate environment, people expect you to perform all the time. A lot of people are, if you go home before 8 or 9 o'clock at night, then it's like a mark against your name in the company, because apparently you're not giving your all. Well, you have to decide whether that is the type of company where you want to live. Because you see, your pot was not created for that amount of pressure. Why do you think people are cracking? Why do you think so many people in this day and age are falling apart and doing stupid things? It's because we live under too much pressure. Satan loves pressure. He would love for you to stay in situations where there is just pressure all the time. And you can feel when that pressure is getting too much. They say a change is as good as a holiday. Sometimes a job that pays a little bit less is going to reap a lot more dividends in the long run. Because it's more time with the wife, it's more time with the kids, it's more quiet time, it's more alone time, it's more me time, and it's a lot less stress. But you see, we can't do that because then we can't keep up with the Joneses and look good in people's eyes. Well, then we need a reality check. Keeping up with the Joneses has destroyed more people than a whole bunch of other stuff. Ask yourself the question. The place where you are right now, is that really where God wants you to be? Or is that where you would like yourself to be? Because sometimes those two things are not the same. And sometimes where you are right now and all the pressure that you have and all the problems that you have is simply a manifestation of a pot being used for something it was not created to do. And then we are so full of pride that we can't admit we made a mistake. We will show everybody and God that we can do this. Good luck to you. Most probably the pot's going to break before you get to that place. When God created you, He had something specific in mind. If you've never gone on your knees and asked Him what it was, it's time for you to do that. Because He will speak to you. And He's got wonderful ways of revealing Himself to you. And you might find something completely different. And it's going to work like a bomb. Because you were created for it. What happens to a clay jar if there is too much pressure on it? It's going to break. Now, all of these things that I've just mentioned, the divorce or cheating or things people say, things people do, things people didn't do, all of these things cause problems for you and I. Because you see, it puts pressure on us, or it chips us, or it cracks us. And you see, a cracked or a broken pot has lost some of its ability to function properly. A pot is called a vessel, and a vessel is supposed to contain something. Do you agree with me? I mean, what good is a pot that you can't boil water in? Are you going to keep it around? No, because it becomes useless. Now, you and I, there is a good reason why when God spoke to Jeremiah and He showed him the potter and He spoke to him through what the potter was doing, there's a good reason why God relates people to pots. Because just like a pot is supposed to be a vessel, a container, so you and I are vessels that are supposed to take the gospel of Christ, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the living word of God to other people. How far are you going to get when your pot is cracked? Can the living water stay in a cracked pot? No. Can you see why the devil wants you to be under so much pressure? Can you see why he wants you to force yourself to be something that you're not, putting pressure on the pot and cracking it in the process? Because then you can't do what God wants you to do. A cracked pot leaks. Because it leaks, it is no longer effective. The Bible says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Just stand up for me quickly. Turn around and smile at the people. You see, God has a sense of humor. Just check out the spot that He made, eh? But you see this pot. There's something about this pot that you can't see. There is a treasure inside it. You hear what I'm saying? I don't care what your ex-wife says. The Word of God says there's a treasure inside. Now the purpose is for him to use that treasure to be a blessing to her and to be a blessing to her and to him and to him and to the church and to people in general. But what happens when the pot breaks? The treasure leaks out. So when he's in a situation, thank you, you can sit down. When he's in a situation where the treasure could have been very useful and the Spirit of God would have loved to just release that treasure into a person's life. When he's in that situation, nothing happens. Why? Because the pot is cracked and the treasure has run out. Do you see what the devil does to us? Satan is a lot more afraid of you than what you are of him. Because there's no treasure in him. Hello? But the Bible says there is treasure in you. Amen. There is treasure in you. Many people battle in life because their pots are cracked or broken. And because they are cracked and broken, when the anointing comes, the anointing doesn't stay because there's nothing to keep the anointing in. Now, let's just stop right there. And let me give you some good news. There is good news in this message. The good news is, I am not the potter. Somebody say hallelujah. Your wife is not the potter. I was expecting a much louder hallelujah. You see, God is the potter. And this potter can reshape any pot. The question is simply, is the pot willing to be reshaped? Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 4. But the pot that he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. This prophet saw the potter busy with a pot that didn't turn out the way that he wanted it. He didn't take it and throw it away and say, you useless, stupid pot, I don't want anything more to do with you. He simply took it, put it back on the wheel, started over again. And by the time he was finished, he looked at that pot and he said, yesterday, that's exactly what I wanted. It's perfect. I don't know you. I don't know your life. I don't know the disappointments that you've been through. I don't know all the hurt that you're carrying with you. I don't know how much pressure you've lived under for how long. And I don't know how big your crack is. Please don't read anything into that. It just slipped out. But let me tell you something. Whatever the problem, God can sort it out. Hello? God can sort it out. You see, the clay must yield to the hands of the potter. And the clay must yield to the will of the potter. And then the potter can reshape and remold that pot. John chapter 5 verse 17 says, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. I'm going to repeat that. Please listen. This is important. Jesus said, my Father is always at work. And to this very day, I too am working. Listen, yeah, you can never ever come to the potter to be fixed. And there's a sign on the door that says, out to lunch. Or a sign on the door that says, prayer meeting between 12 and 2. Hello? Because this potter doesn't work that way. And there's nothing that says that he only fixes in the summer. And there's nothing that says that he can't work hard in the winter. Because the Bible says he's always at work. 1 o'clock in the morning, when you've made a mess of your life. 6 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and discover what you did the night before. Doesn't matter when and doesn't matter where. If you realize that you've damaged yourself or somebody has damaged you, what do? You go to the only one that can fix it. That brings me to what I want to end up with. The Bible compares us with pots. You don't take a broken pot to a mechanic. Because he's just going to tell you that, oh, this is going to be perfect for all of my loose screws and wires and whatever. You don't take a damaged pot to a doctor. Because what can he do with it? He can use it to put his pills in. But those pills won't fix the cracked or the broken pot. When a pot is broken, there is only one place you go to. It's not called Oprah. Hello? It's not called Dr. Phil. And Jerry Springer doesn't know nothing. I'm sorry to tell you. He's going to damage you 10 times worse. When your pot is broken or cracked, there's only one place that you can go to, and that is God. God is the one that knows how to fix things. Can I tell you why people are falling apart and destroying themselves? Because instead of running to the one that can fix the crack, they run to the ones that can't. Because the world tells us, you know, positive thinking, meditation, Reiki, I'm not tuned with the universe. So I'm going to wear this huge big crystal around my neck and destroy my neck. I have to share this with you. Many years ago, I was doing a job. I was still working and ministering at the same time. And I'm doing a job at this Oaks place. And I noticed that he was wearing this huge big crystal around his neck. I mean, this thing was like gigantic. I think he was really doing some serious injury to his skeletal structure. But in any case, this oak is parading around with this huge big chunk of whatever it was, quartz or something. And so, you know, me, I'm all excited about God, and I've been learning a couple of things. So I had a suspicion that this oak was into the New Age or something like that. So I ask him, I say, why are you wearing this crystal? He says, no, you know what? In his belief, in his faith, they believe that certain things can cause you to go out of synchronicity with the universe. And so your frequency has changed, and that causes a lot of bad harmonics, and therefore lots of problems come into your life. And there is a simple way to tune this. Different crystals have different frequencies, and depending on how far left or how far right you've gone astray, this crystal is going to bring you back in line, and everything's going to be perfect. Of course, I'm paraphrasing now because he was talking a bunch of nonsense anyway. So I said, oh, that's interesting. So I said, how long have you been wearing it? No, just a couple of months. I said, and does it work? He says, wow, does it work? Now, this is his explanation as to why it works. Apparently, it's not as easy as hanging a crystal around your neck and everything is just instantly tuned. It takes quite a while for the frequencies to adjust themselves. And apparently, when you initially put this thing on your neck, all hell breaks loose in your life. Because since he's been wearing it, he's bumped his car twice, and his wife got fired, and his dog had triplets, and, you know, you get the idea. I can't remember all the stuff that went wrong, but it was like a whole bunch of stuff went wrong in his life. And I'm picturing this devil sitting on his shoulder, just canning himself that this oak is stupid enough to believe in this nonsense. Because you see, my friend, when the pot has got a problem, it's not the crystal that'll fix it. It's the potter. Hello? It's not the piliki that's going to sort it out. It's the potter. Feng Shui does not have the answer. Reiki doesn't have the answer. Buddha doesn't have the answer. Allah doesn't have the answer. Because not one of them is a potter. Jesus is the potter. Please give him a hand. Now, let me just say this. You've been sitting here and you heard me use the name pot quite often. I'm not speaking about the stuff people smoke. I'm referring to an actual pot. If your life isn't lacquer right now, if you have a sneaky suspicion that your pot is chipped or cracked, then I want to tell you that there is somebody that can sort it out. But it is your choice whether you want him to sort it out or not. You know, a lot of people will sit through a sermon like this and think, interesting stuff, and just go home. That's not really how it works. When the Word of God speaks to you, you have to act upon it. That's called obedience, and God can always honor obedience. So I want to end off by saying, no, I don't know you. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know about all your trials and tribulations. I don't know about all the disappointments in your past. And I don't have to, because I'm not the potter. But tonight, while I'm here and the Word of God is coming out, so is God. And He's the potter. But you see, a pot needs to go to the potter to be fixed. And so you'll have to come to God tonight to have your life fixed. The good news is, He's still working. He's not on leave. He's not toying somewhere. There's no wage negotiations happening at this point in time. He's at His table. He's ready. He's willing. He's able. The question is, are you? Did anybody learn something tonight? Let's give the Lord a big hand. Amen. Gina, would you please come forward? Alright, what we're going to do now, we're going to do some worship. Why are we going to do some worship? Because when we worship the Lord, it allows the Holy Spirit to begin to move. Amen. And there is no time in your life that you are nearer to God than when you are worshiping Him. The Bible says when we worship the Lord, we build a throne for Him in our midst. How amazing is that? Then the potter is right here and all he has to do is touch you. Amen. So would you agree with me that now what you need to do more than anything else is stop worrying about the time. Stop worrying about what you're missing on the Discovery Channel. And if you don't have the Discovery Channel, whatever TV 1, 2 and 3 is playing right now. Stop worrying about your wife or your husband or your oom or your tani. And think about yourself right now. You are in a place where the potter wants to adjust the clay. So you need to stay. I want you to worship with us. And when we are finished worshiping, I would like to invite you forward. If this message spoke to you, and if you know that you know that you know that God is talking to you right now, and if you know that you know that you know that you need some adjustment, some fixing, some changing, then I'm inviting you forward. And it would be an honor and a privilege for us to pray for you. Let us please stand.